Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller official.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the app store for free today.
Instagram UK Frontline.
Beatbox created.
Killer Keller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller Podcast.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller Podcast, live and direct, central London, essentials you need to be, could be, want to be. Why would you be anywhere else? Fuck that shit. big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. Hail up everybody that's got the Kellervision app for their sins. Jeez, you're getting the treats. 24/7 street culture and more, yeah? Free download Apple and Android. We're inside the house with the mighty Tom Blackford inside the place. What are you saying, my brother?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Street artist, graffiti, spray can artist extraordinaire, the UK, innit?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Some might consider me a street artist, others a graffiti artist, others an illustrator. Mm. Try not to box myself into any of those categories. Mm. Just artist.
I think artist, isn't it?
Just artist, yeah.
Comics, for starters.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Working on a comic at the moment. Mm. Which is actually what I first wanted to sort of break into when I was younger, and I've kind of gone full circle. When I was younger, I was trying to get into the comic industry. Found that incredibly difficult, and almost then found, well, didn't find graffiti. Graffiti was always around, but I found that as quite a good option in terms of putting my work out there in another capacity.
With another medium,
and getting an immediate audience, and also I just always enjoyed the notion of being out and about creating art. You know, I'm not someone that finds it massively enjoyable spending extended periods of time just sitting indoors at a desk drawing.
For sure.
You know, it can be quite lonely and isolating working on projects where you're just literally, sitting on a desk drawing day in, day out. So the notion of going out and painting it's always been very attractive to me.
For sure. Like, even outside of the graffiti, you know, the illegality and the, you know, the hardcore realms, the streets is like the exhibition hall. And like you say, if you're going out to show off your work, it is a level of by any means necessary, isn't it? And go where the people are. There seems to be the more appealing side to street art for a lot of people, isn't it? Rather than being locked away, you know, like you say.
Sure, sure. I think now there are more artists than ever that, you know, come from fine art backgrounds or graphic design backgrounds that weren't even initially sort of part of the graffiti scene, so to speak, that are now using street art or painting on the street to find an audience for their work.
Mm.
You know, it's almost like, especially in these days of, you know, social media and Instagram, you know, you will get your work seen, you will get your work photographed by people, and it gives you a platform.
It does, doesn't it?
You know?
I mean, that being said, though, I mean, you've cut your chops, you know, 40HK, you know, all the different things that you've done over the years that has played alongside nicely with the likes. I guess the characters like Tizer, for instance, and some of the more crossover appealing graffiti writers, you fall nicely on balance with what's going on. I think there's a lot of, you know, spicy, but I think perhaps a lot of the more contemporary artists that use the streets as their canvas, they also play in, you know, at risk to the kickback of the hardcore, you know. And recently, you know, I've been seeing a lot of like dogged shit, you know what I mean? And from people I don't know, you know.
I think London's always had this thing where, like, and maybe it's different in other European cities. I can only talk objectively of what I've seen growing up in this scene is that there's always been a massive legal, illegal divide in the sense that, like, and I think that's changed, actually. I think when I was growing up, mid-90s, just getting into graph and or whether I was doing it or seeing it in the magazines, there was more of a case, I think, in the 90s of, you know, you'd have the same graffiti writers doing productions, you know, full-on productions in halls of fame that were also involved in the illegal side. Now I think that's a lot more separate. I think, yeah, you've got a lot of guys doing a lot of illegal stuff now that you don't really see then going into halls of fames and doing productions with backgrounds and characters.
Interesting you say that, it's true. Thing.
Yeah, I think that's changed a lot. And my theory is that it's because of, not solely down to, but I think social media has a lot to play there. I think the generation, the younger generation now that are getting into it, maybe don't have the same level of patience that the older dudes had. And I think we're living in a time with Instagram where, like, people just want to get that instant
gratification.
Kudos. So, you know, why spend 7-8 hours doing a beautiful piece at Hall of Fame if you're going to get the same amount of exposure or kudos from doing an illegal piece that people will spend the same amount of time looking at on a, you know, while they're flicking through Instagram.
Just flicking away and not actually think. Yeah, you're right. I can't remember what I was speaking to about this, but there's also the argument that perhaps street art took the style away from the hardcore graph as well. Now, I'm not saying for a second that there ain't any style out there, but what I mean is, like, when you look at the 80s and 90s with full-blown production, you know, you see those pieces by No Limits or Prime and all those kind of top-to-bottom, like, walls that were done on Trellick, top-to-bottom trains, you know, which is obviously, like, the high echelon of, like, yeah, I definitely want to do that, you know, preferably in New York kind of conversation. But that has kind of been relegated, and you see a lot of street art that really do take up a lot of space. And because it's deemed street art, they have more time to be intricate and, you know, go with the flow. And sometimes I feel like maybe that there's a lot to be said there for people that, you know, that for graffiti to not have that those values in the work. And I think maybe street art might have something to do with it.
I think, well, for me, when I started painting seriously, I got into it quite late. I was already in my sort of mid-20s. I've been, like, you know, tagging and messing around with graph before that, but when I started painting, it was predominantly with people like names like Skya and Fex.
Yeah, nice.
And Ebsky. And they'd already kind of been around and were, you know, done their thing. They were all, like, sort of 10 years older than me. And me painting with those guys was, like, I was very quickly having to sort of up my game in terms of becoming technically proficient. And so, yeah, I was predominantly doing productions with those guys for a good few years, and I was doing characters.
And by the way, you nail characters, dude.
Thanks, man. Well, it comes from having always been interested in being an illustrator. And so when I jumped into doing big paintings on walls, it was an extension. I wanted to extend my illustration work. I think that's where my strength was. I've messed around with letters, but the character stuff was, I felt like a little niche that I could carve for myself. So I was the character bitch, definitely, for a good few years.
Yeah, but you got letters too, man. Like, in terms of all roundedness, I feel like you've.
They're two kind of very different disciplines. In terms of, like, so if I go out now, I've got all these separate factions. So if I go out now on my own and I want to do something on the street, that's me. I don't know if you want to call me a street artist or not. I'm just out there using the streets and using spray paint as a medium to create my illustration work or to paint a character or whatever. Then I've got the side of me that does feel more like a graffiti artist, and that's when I paint with my crew and we'll do, we'll paint letter pieces together. And then that's when I won't do the character stuff. I'll be like, okay, I'm wearing this hat today. I'm just enjoying painting letters and... Yeah. All of that, and then I've got the kind of, illustration side. So, I mean, I'm a full-time artist. I do it for a living. So when I'm not out there doing that, I'm at home, and I'm currently working on this comic. So, yeah, just like different hats. That's why I don't like to be pigeonholed as a...
No, I see you as very much an anomaly. In this world where, at the moment, there's certainly like this... graph and street art divide that is, I mean, I wouldn't want to create the narrative here, you understand. This is totally from a perspective of seeing it. But it does feel like...
Well, I think street art now as well is like, when street art started really blowing up here, it was very much like early 2000s, very like Banksy, people that were inspired by Banksy and a lot of stencil art and stuff. So street art then was kind of defined as people that were doing stencils and paste-ups and all that stuff. I feel like now it's kind of like, you know, there's so many...
It's one and the same almost, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of blurred lines. A lot of, like, people that are just really good muralists and painters. And I don't know if they're interested in being defined as street artists. I think it's more sort of the audience that creates these titles, you know? I mean, I'm okay with if you want to call me a street artist, I'm fine with that. Call me what you want, you know? I'm just an artist, you know?
I think it's quite hard to pigeonhole you. And furthermore, for your skill set...
I've tried to not be pigeonholed. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's part of my whole thing. It's like... Yeah, okay, you want to call me a street artist, cool, but I'll then go out and do some graffiti and then, you know.
There's, actually, that's a good point. I mean, Mir, he can do characters and he can do full burners, bubble pieces, but there's a different...
His stuff, the stuff he was doing with Solo and Dane...
Oh, the VIP stuff?
The VIP stuff and the, like, the productions that, like, people, like, Score and Deck.
Yeah.
Those were the productions that I would see early on where I was like...
Oh, the TRC stuff.
Yeah, I was like, wow. You know, that was what inspired me. Those were the kind of things that inspired me to be, like, proficient at this shit, you know, just like really get to like how are these people doing these large scale things
that's interesting.
Those were the walls that really fired me up.
To not be able to diversify with the skills that you have would be totally denying the vastness of your abilities and going as far as you can. And I think anybody that, you know, I guess it just depends on the person, doesn't it? Like, how far
that's it. I mean, like, there's a lot of people that become very good at doing one thing and it almost becomes like a branding thing where they therefore don't want to go too far outside of that because they're worried about losing that audience they've built through this highly recognisable sort of iconic thing, whether it be a...
scene or something like that.
A writer that's pinned down an outline and then doesn't really stray too far from that in terms of letter styles.
But what you're saying is if you start without necessarily having those anchor points, then you've got more freedom to advance in any which way, which is your kind of bag, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, like, I'd say... Yeah, I'm known within the UK graffiti scene.
For sure, yeah.
But then I also have people that, you know, just your regular Joe Public that know my work that probably have no interest or no clue that I do graffiti. Maybe they've seen it on my Instagram or whatever, but there's a whole section of people that know me through my illustration work and and my painting work as well, my canvas work, which is why I kind of decided to drop having a graph name. I was going by the name Ink Fetish.
Yeah, I remember that.
From, I think, 2004. I went by that for about 12 years, I think.
12 years?
Yeah.
Wow, time flies.
And then decided that I wanted to scrap it just because I thought, you know what, just I'm doing this full time now. Mm. I don't want to be limited by, I didn't have a name that was necessarily sort of had a street clout to it.
Mm.
So therefore, like, I felt like I wanted to just scrap all that, go by my name, do what I do. So now all my mural work or the street work that I do, all the illustration work, that's all under my name. And the only time I'll go outside of that is then if I now do graffiti. Mm. And then I'll just use a random name. I've been writing the name Agony and Hernia recently. It's just a couple of names I've been like fooling around with. But yeah.
I mean, this is kind of draws the question, like, what? Because a lot of people would be asking, like, well, how do you break and compartmentalise doing that and doing that? And where's the line drawn? And how do you become successful in any one of those things if you're delegating so much to so many different...
Yeah, it's a balance, man. It's not easy. So it's like, I find if I'm doing, say, commercial work, where I'm doing commissioned illustrations or mural work, and depending on how much creative freedom I've got with those jobs, that'll then spur me on to either kind of go back to doing something very personal, like the comic that I'm working on. That's something where, like, I've got no brief. I've got no one telling me what to do or anything. That's like a deeply personal project. And so while I've got something like that going on, I don't mind, you know, if I've got to compromise my own sort of artistic aesthetic for a commercial job that I might have on. So it's a constant balance of like doing the stuff I enjoy and then doing the commercial work.
Does it ever get...
Even with the commercial work, I try and inject my own. I'm only really interested in doing jobs that do allow me to, like,
the flexibility to be creative in a...
Yeah, otherwise I'm like, why am I doing this, you know?
Like doing bar signs in a... Oh. Actually, no, I'm not going to limit your... You know.
No. I know what you're saying.
Bar signs as well?
No. I know what you're saying.
Big up the bar sign crew.
I'm not going to be doing Incredible Hulk murals in gyms or, like, Mickey Mouse murals in kids' bedrooms.
Yeah.
I might do my own twisted Mickey Mouse thing somewhere else, but yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love the fact that you pulled them out of the bag like it was like
the classics.
Front cortex of your mind.
Yeah.
Does it, and I say this maybe with a small degree of empathy to anyone that does, because I certainly do, and you'd be right saying you do if you do, is sometimes when you give up a bit of your creative well water to a corporate job, sometimes I come back and I think, well, I ain't doing that for a good couple of days now. I'm fucking out. Like, that's just done me in.
Yeah, but then you use the, whatever you've earned from that, you just put back in to what you love doing.
Mm.
And, doing things like that, it also buys you the time as well. You know, time is so valuable. As I get older, I realise that as well. So, you know, anything that gives me the freedom to then not have to worry about work for a bit and concentrate on the personal work, you know, I can't afford to turn that down, you know.
It's a balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a balancing act.
It's a constant balancing act. And I feel it's got easier for me as I've become more established as well. I can pick and choose a little bit more now, which is nice. And I do feel like I've got a number of people that do come to me specifically because of what I do rather than just being a spray can for hire.
Yeah, you've got a style. You really do. Like, I feel that. I can see when it's you.
Cheers, yeah.
Which is, I think, is the biggest acclaim that you could give anyone. And
I mean, I like to, even though I do these separate things, you know, I do the drawing and paintings and graffiti and blah, blah, I do like the idea of people being able to see any one of those things and it being defined as my style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's easily recognisable. I want to create this whole universe and it doesn't matter what medium I'm using to extend that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Without the repetition of, like, the stamp approach of same thing, same thing, same thing.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, I've tried doing that whole thing a little bit where I was like, okay, let's take this one, kind of give myself a mascot and do that for a while, and I just get bored. I just get bored very quickly. I've been doing a lot of stuff with this character that I've created called Mickey Scouse. Also known as Sick Mickey, which is like
sounds like a Viz character.
Yeah, yeah, it is a little bit. He's just like a degenerate version of Mickey Mouse that likes to party too much. And
that is the shit.
Yeah, so I've been playing around with him recently. I've done him in a number of different places and shapes and forms. But yeah, that's like a little bit of fun. So yeah, we'll see if I keep going with him.
It's a funny one with the graphical, because, like, as a medium,
yeah,
because that stamp approach of repetition, that's really, that's what graph holds its hat to.
Yeah.
But then...
And it works, though. That's the thing. There are people that do that thing and that do become super successful through doing it. I could name a bunch of people that, you know, it's not what I'm interested in doing, but it works for them and they get a following out of it. People like to find security in recognition, in recognizing the same thing, and there's a
branding.
It's branding.
People will want to know, I think monetizing art. Okay, there's some hardcore out there that would be like, fuck that. But then...
But I see everyone doing it now.
Everyone's doing it, man. Like,
everyone.
Like, and again, I just got to pick up Mir again, because, like, Mir's doing the maps, like, hard, and I don't think it's a single compromise in his abilities, and I think it's just another medium. Nathan Bowen as well, the way he's using the cones and stuff, and just, I don't know, just, you know, just name as well, big shout name, you know, just taking what is its core, monetizing it. But to a lot of people, that's quite hard.
Yeah. You have to find something that is fun for you to do, otherwise there's no point, but that also has a reach almost outside of the graffiti world. You have to find something that appeals. If you want to make a full-time thing out of it, you know, you're going to struggle if all you're doing is letter forms, I think. That only goes so far in terms of, like, broad appeal, unless you're someone like Scene or even someone like Cope 2, for better or worse. I like the idea of that, let the artwork do the talking, let the legacy do the talking. Life is short. And I think, you know, even now, there are people on Instagram that I was having this conversation with a dude the other day, and it's like, it's not even good enough now to paint an outstanding piece of work. You've got to make a video charting it, you've got to do a time lapse, you've got to edit it, you've got to put some funky music,
and if you can dance in front of it too.
So there's all these separate factions now that go with trying to, like, have a platform for yourself. It's almost like you've got to make yourself into a TV type celebrity. Do you know what I mean?
The attention is the currency, isn't it? People's attention.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. How long can you engage? How long can you grab someone for? in this age where it's so easy just to slide up and, you know,
tinder the shit out of your art.
Yeah. So yeah, you get a lot of flash in the pan artists, I feel that way. And a lot of kids that have grown up in this current climate where they do see success linked to a big online following. Whereas, you know, I grew up in the early 90s when we didn't have the internet, which is fucking nuts to think about it now. And, you know, I'd draw and I'd paint and I wasn't bothered whether anyone saw it. If I was satisfied with it, then wicked. So now, yeah, it's kind of, things have lost their intrinsic value, I feel. And, you know, the stuff that's getting created today, I almost feel like it's going to take another 10 years before that stuff is almost appreciated, because everything's going so fucking quickly.
Well, not, you think nostalgia will play a part in
I hope so. I think that's what we've got. Like cream always rises to the top kind of philosophy. I think if you don't try and hold on to that, then you can quite easily get lost in all the bullshit and hype that comes with trying to elevate yourself in any means outside of just creating and having fun with what you're doing.
Yeah, I know what you mean about cream rising to the top and cutting through the noise. Sometimes sometimes it feels like you've got to go that extra yard to make, just drum up, as, especially at the start of anyone's career. It's like, that's one thing that graffiti has taught me, is like, how much noise can you make to the point of it's like at a risk to your livelihood or the career that you're setting a path at? Because ATG are a great example, like big up Jan, rest in peace, and obviously, you know, Panic.
Went to school with Jan.
Did ya?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a couple of years below me, but yeah, in the
Oh, amazing, yeah.
Yeah, right at the beginning when he was putting that crew together. So yeah, that was pretty nuts seeing how quickly, you know.
Clothing, fucking club nights.
But they're a good example of a crew that maybe, like, you know, went out and did a whole load of stuff, made a massive splash, big impression, and then created this platform for themselves where then they're able to venture off and do other things. But they've got an audience that might have, you know, followed them through that street level approach through to doing more sort of commercial stuff.
Grassroots level, yeah.
Yeah. They're a good example of a kind of, yeah, modern day crew that really took advantage of the time they were
and all the amenities that were available.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, 100%. Do you think that puts a risk at, because, you know, you go and check out, oh man, there's fucking loads of writers. And big up all the writers out there right now, because there are some amazing ones, which are also quite happy in a non-compromising way to do a map or to do a canvas or to sell.
Yeah, people are a lot more sort of open to commercial artists in their self or branding themselves these days. Whereas when I was coming up, it was like, oh, you know, you're a sellout and all of that. I think that was very much like a 90s thing almost. And like when I was starting to become not known, but heavily involved in painting regularly and stuff, you could see, because of the advent of street art, I guess, that had definitely become less of an issue, and you could see the everything slightly shifting and changing. And there was, there's always going to be the hardcore writers that are very much against that, because it goes against their whole ethos. And I get that. But, you know, yeah, there's always going to be those opposing the people that think that it should be a completely purist thing, and those that are kind of more open-minded about it, maybe, and pursue their art for it.
Yeah. Exhibition halls and things like that, I feel like they're slowly becoming relegated pretty quickly, or at least, you know, old guard compared to, you know, I love going to a Hall of Fame and watching people paint for a period of time. You know, obviously not like the whole 3 or 4 hours. But I do like going in there and seeing who's about and being able to talk to the artists and being able to see firsthand what's going on and the environment. You know, it all plays a part, and I feel like maybe, as somebody like yourself that kind of has dipped his toe in exhibition spaces and all sorts of things that, you know, pop up demo spots where you would never normally see a graph writer whatsoever or street artist, you know, I feel like they're becoming ever so imbalanced nowadays, aren't they?
In what sense?
Because graph is so predominant on the street. It's so readily, you know, searching you will find, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, I mean, like, you don't have to have a walk around sort of Shoreditch and Hackney these days, and it's just fucking blitzed, you know? So, yeah, it is, people are sort of probably more aware of it on a street level, in terms of the public, anyway.
Does it make exhibition halls a little more redundant or a little bit more higher class? And
I mean, it just comes down to the individual and how they want, you know, how they want themselves to perceive what their aim is within this culture, you know.
Does it ever make you want to kind of go a little bit hardcore here and there?
Yeah, I have my moments. Yeah. I did a track side the other week.
Hey.
But you know, like, no one would know. Again, no one would really know that it was me. I painted a character, so unless you followed my work, he wouldn't necessarily know. It was more about just the buzz of going out and doing that. Realised how blind I was. Seriously, I was just
too
like
dark.
pitch black. And yeah, I was like, I got kind of a newfound respect for some of the stuff that people are pulling off on track sides these days. But yeah, that was fun. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm coming up to 40. Maybe 40 in a couple of months. And I think you kind of at this stage have to make a very sort of serious decision about where you focus your energy. If you're a career artist, it's like, yeah, I could go out and have more of a presence on the streets in that respect, but like at the same time, that's time that I'm taking away from all these other responsibilities that I've got, whether that be like, you know, trying to get this comic done, spending time with my girlfriend, you know, just real life shit, you know, like.
I've heard about that stuff. I hear it's the thing.
What's that?
That, you know, real life shit, you know.
Real life stuff.
Responsibility stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've been very lucky to never have to do that 9-to-5 thing. I don't have any kids, so I do have a certain amount of free time. Which is important to me. It's always been massively important to me to be my own boss in that sense. And yeah, I feel like the age I'm at now, it is like, where do I really negate my time and my efforts? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, should I go out today and do a letter piece in a Hall of Fame, or would that time be better suited staying at home and working on this, or you know?
But you've got to have had your 10,000 before you come to this. Explain. I mean, without giving away too many of your secrets, because you are fucking, you know, you know how to handle a can, and you know how to handle a wall. Like, come on, like, you know, 40 is almost 40, right? So how do you go about, particularly in the dark, for instance, like, you know, that must change the whole, you know, your whole sensory, you know, the thing you know is suddenly not there. But like, how do you go about painting a character? Like, from what my understanding of it, in my limited amount of times that I've tried, it's like, little bit here, no, next can, little bit there, no, that's not right, erase it. It's just like, it's like massaging a thing to life.
Yeah, sure.
Is that kind of the best way to describe
it? Yeah, I mean,
You're the Donner.
Painting characters, I guess, yeah, it's like, well, it was what I was doing before I even had an interest in graffiti, to be honest. Before I was aware of graffiti, I've been drawing since I was a kid, you know. Always drawing little comics and, So when I started painting these productions or painting on the street, it was more natural for me to carry on painting characters than it was to try and establish myself as a writer. So yeah, I would say I don't really have an answer aside from it's always kind of what I've been. I've always been quite comfortable doing them.
Is it a case of like
on a technical level?
Yeah, on a technical level.
Technical level, yeah. I mean, I like to think I've improved over the years. I look at stuff I did 10 years ago and I cringe. Mm-hmm. You know, even stuff that I did up to like a couple of years ago, I see faults.
You're a perfectionist, though, aren't you?
Yeah, but yeah.
To what degree you're a perfectionist?
To a fault. Yeah. To like, I get very, you know, I'll finish a piece, and it's very rare that I'm satisfied with it. To be fair, but it's not usually until the next day that I study it and I look at all the faults or things I missed or should have done or could have done, and I can get bogged down in that rather than just negating it to history and. Mm. And working on, okay, what's next? But yeah, I'm generally happier and happier with what I do.
Mm.
So like, you know, this year I've done some things where I don't look at them and think, oh, I could have changed this. I'm generally happy with what I achieved within the time frame.
Mm. Does the corporate side of it give you a buffer whereby the burden of perfectionism is off your hands?
When I say corporate, I don't do a whole load of corporate stuff, really. When I say corporate...
See, I said the C word. You see what happened there? All of a sudden, it's like, hold on. Wait a minute.
Let's say commercial, because I do a whole bunch of stuff for private...
What's wrong with corporate,
for private clients. Yeah, but corporate, to me, means you're working for big brands, which generally I don't do. I'll work for... Yeah, individuals that are a fan of my stuff, they'll get me in to do stuff, whether that be...
I don't doubt there's an abundance. But whether it's commercial or any of these...
Yeah.
Does it create a buffer which allows you to remove the emotional attachment to something? So where it goes, okay, that line is a little bit of a... And the geezer's behind you.
No.
Yeah, but I like that.
No, I still really? Put, I still does it put still just do it? As much effort or...
No, not so much on an effort level. I'm talking more like on a... You are a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can, like you say, to your detriment. But if you're standing looking at something and you go and have a coffee and you come back and all of a sudden you're seeing it in a different light and you think, oh, that needs to be
fine. Yeah, sure.
Is it not good that you're, okay, actually, you know what I mean? This isn't, they've already said it's cool, so I can draw a line in the sand. That must
no.
be. Really?
No.
Would you whitewash the whole thing again if you weren't happy with it?
I quite often... I'm kind of slightly known for it as well, because I'll do a piece, go home, and then there'll be like the smallest thing that I'll notice that no one else will ever notice, but it'll be enough to make me
go back
and just make that little change. And as ridiculous as it is, I'm always glad I did it, because I know that if I didn't, that I'd forever look at that photo and regret not having tweaked this or that.
Even if it costs you 25 quid a cab.
But the irony is that in 4 years' time, I won't like...
Even be thinking about it.
I won't even like that piece. Yeah. But yeah, as I go, everything I do, I've got to be happy and proud with.
Even if it costs you 25 quid a cab to go back to a place just to make sure that it...
A £25 cab?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
Really? Yeah. See, that's dedication, you see. You know what I mean? That's some dedication and shit. I've got to take my hat off to that, because that's fire.
Yeah, a bit of mental illness as well, probably.
But yeah, dedication. But it's also value for money. Like, do you mean?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all got to be...
I am, on the other hand, jealous of artists that do just go out and have a whale of a time painting and then don't really, you know, give a fuck and, you know, or maybe they do give a fuck, but not to the extent that... They get super bogged down by it, but yeah, there's a freedom to not caring too much as well.
Do you get bogged down by it? You get
bogged
down
on a bit. Yeah, yeah. Like painting for me, I do take it very seriously. You know, some people treat it as more of a social exercise, where it's like, you know, let's go out and
have a few drinks,
a few spliffs, have a laugh.
I love that.
Yeah, there's an element of that, but I want to, you know, like I'll have to, the painting is the priority at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and that's, I think that's kind of where I was coming from with the question. What did I say? It was more, you know, the mental side of these things. And if you've always got that looming, that kind of thing, then part compartmentalizing all the different emotions and creative outlets and all that thing at the same time, that's a lot of place to be spinning, you know, whether it's a comic or whether it's... Because the critical eye that you have, I mean, in a good way, must be a lot of undertaking, a lot of energy.
Yeah, well, the thing is, if I'm working on a project like this comic, for instance, like, that has, that doesn't have to see the light of day for an extended period of time. So, like, I can tweak that and sit with it for as long as I want. Whereas if I'm out painting a wall, if it's something I'm not happy with, I'm well aware that the world's going to see it. You're going to get 10,000 bloggers taking photos of it, and it's going to be all over the internet.
Do you think that's what hinders the journey for you? Else, like you're saying, the perfectionism. Do you think that adds weight to that? Those.
Yeah, I don't want anything out there that I'm not super proud of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just me. That's just me. So sometimes it is nice to be working at home, whether it be on a canvas or a thing where you can get it just right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever that means, whatever just right means.
Mm. Yeah. Who knows?
It's my little neurotic edge.
Like, I'm the biggest, you know, I'm the biggest Slash fan, right? And I know he doodles on the guitar. I know it's not to everyone's fucking taste. And some people, a lot of people won't even like Slash on this podcast. It's... To him, no, it's just such a given that he's just this dude.
Right.
He exists in an entity, and maybe he's just doodled all his life, and he makes it look easy, and I don't think for a second he probably does stress over it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Not to everyone's taste, and he probably doesn't even want to appease that, but it's just him, and it's people do.
Yeah.
And often I think to myself, wow, you make it look so fucking easy.
Well, that's the key, I think, yeah, to have that effortless sort of look to things as well. It's, I think you can tell when a piece has been... There's a kind of sweet spot where you can see where a piece has been laboured over maybe too much. You want to retain a certain energy to it as well.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah. I used to be super anal about, like, you know, every line being super tight and every fade being perfect. And I like to think now I'm a little bit looser with that stuff, and I actually... prefer the aesthetic result of a piece that's just a little bit fuzzy around the edges, maybe.
Mm. I think
if we're getting really nerdy about it, do you know what I mean? Like, if we're talking about, you know, like cutbacks and all that stuff, it's like, yeah, I do like seeing a bit of roughness to my work here and there. Kind of that human touch. Because otherwise, why are we... The nature of a spray can is so wild and untamed, like... I want to retain a bit of that because otherwise you might as well be working digitally.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%.
Like this iPad graffiti stuff that I see popping up on Instagram, it's just like...
I don't trust it almost.
It's just horrible. It's like the complete antithesis of what it's all about.
Yeah, because you just press a button and then pop comes your thing. It doesn't actually serve as a... I mean, fuck, like, what do I know? Creative, we'll see. I've never used the thing.
Sure,
but it's
But like even with my comic, this comic that I'm doing, it's all hand drawn, and that's almost quite an archaic way of working now.
It's sick though. It's good.
Yeah, because to me, it's like half of it is the therapeutic act of doing it, and I just don't get that if I'm looking at a computer monitor. 8 hours a day or whatever. It's just like I want to feel... Someone described it really well, the difference between working with a pencil or pen directly onto paper on a desk as opposed to using an iPad. And he said, I like to feel... if I'm driving, I like to feel the tyres on the road.
It's like
you want to feel that that visceral feeling of drawing and that. I mean, that's why I love graffiti. I love the realness and the rawness of it.
I think art is only ever going to continue one way, and that is exponentially, all into the different spheres and out of our control. I think we'll be celebrated for a podcast. We'll be celebrated for the rawness of taking something physical and applying it onto another surface. Because I think in the future, I reckon even Instagram will become obsolete. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting time.
Mm.
It's an interesting time because, you know, Instagram is something where, like, I've had a number of good opportunities through it. You know, I've had work through it. I've even made friends through it.
Mm.
And on the flip side, it can become overly consuming, give you a very warped idea of people and art, and you know, because you're presented with these very 2D versions of personalities, and again, it's what people, it's how people very much choose to be viewed as opposed to what the reality of their life might be like. So it's very strange. It is very strange.
You know, the trick in telling whether people are true to what they are on their main page is you flick to the right to the tagged photos.
Oh, right.
And
yeah,
then you
yeah.
see the real people and what they really look like in the camera.
No makeup.
With their friends, a little bit pissed, wonky eyes. You know what I mean? Like, that's the real behind the curtain, you know.
That's it, yeah.
But the friends don't filter.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, it's been great, man. Yeah.
And awesome. Bro, like, wish you nothing but love and respect and the best for the future.
Thanks,
Tom,
buddy.
Man.
Likewise.
Fucking smashing it.
Nice one.
Keep it going.
Do my best.
I'll take Tom. Yes. Killer Keller podcast striking again with Avengers. What do you know about that? You know what I mean? Sharing's caring. Get involved. Tell a friend. And do not sleep on it. Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't, all right? You stay lucky, people. Peace. How's that?
That's great.